In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please be seated.
The time has now come. The Ancient of Days, He whom heaven could not contain, is now cloaked in our humanity. Divinity has a human face and a beating heart. The barrier between humanity and divinity has now been removed. The Word has now become flesh, so that flesh might eternally commune with the Word. Man is a prisoner to sin no longer, for the Christ child has now come, and he bears in his hands the keys to our liberation. The proclamations of the prophets are now fulfilled. And likewise, the cries of the faithful now see their eternal reward. As the scripture says, in the acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But salvation too has its price. God counted the cost and paid it out of the abundance of his love without hesitation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. And why, you may ask? Therein lies the assurance that man has with his Creator. For salvation comes not by way of God owing anything to man, let alone eternal communion with him, but to fulfill a promise. The promise which he spoke unto our father Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, that all nations will be blessed. Salvation comes by way of a promise. And if the rising and falling of empires throughout the ages has taught us anything, we know that what makes a king great, above all his other attributes, is his word. The moment he retracts on his word, he loses his credibility. The people will either tune him out, or worse, turn on him altogether. A kingdom cannot stand when it is built with lies and deception. How then could the King of Kings and Lord of Lords go back on his promise to save humanity, to bless that which had wandered astray? If Christ had not come into the world, then the world might have an argument against God. But Christ has come. The promises of our salvation is now adorned in our flesh, and the world has no defense against it. Nothing can eclipse what God has ordained. The demons cower before it. The unrepentant soul gnashes his teeth at it. And the elements of the world are powerless toward its advances. The promise of our salvation is an immovable force that sets men free from the bondage of sin and death. It is a force that unites the faithful to the world which is to come. It is a force, as St. Paul illustrates in this morning's epistle, which has come at the appointed time, being born of a woman to redeem humanity, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Humanity, herein exists humanity's true potential. Our true potential to become sons of God. Everything else within this world and outside of it is inconsequential should we forsake the sonship that we have in Christ. Upon him, as our gospel asserts, the fall and rising of many are destined, and he will be a sign unto the world which will be spoken against. The Christ child, an innocent and seemingly vulnerable infant would be the one of whom Simeon would declare that many would fall and rise again. This child of Mary and Joseph, conceived by the Holy Spirit, would forever change salvation history, for by him and only him has salvation become possible. And Simeon's words cannot be any more prophetic, for from the time of Christ's conception, even predating the visible manifestation of his incarnation, many were at enmity with him. Before he first opened his eyes as the son of Mary and Joseph, before his first cries as a newborn babe, hatred over his coming inflamed the hearts of men and demons alike. The massacre of all the male children in and around Bethlehem within 2 years of Jesus' birth by the sword of Herod is merely a momentary proof that not all welcome the coming of Christ with open arms. And likewise, those who reject him even now, and yes, those who are lukewarm or indifferent to him, in this day and age, abide by the same spirit as Herod. They choose death over life, ignorance over illumination, and tyranny over freedom. But this does not have to be. Even those who have fallen, they are afforded the opportunity to rise again. Only in death are our choices, our decisions made permanent. It's not too late to abide in Christ's salvation. It's not too late. The wonderful thing about Christ is perhaps an equally terrifying thing as well. For by him, all hearts are exposed. In Jesus Christ, the world has seen truth incarnate, the God-man, who became flesh so that all humanity might be reborn into its rightful states as sons of the Most High God by his ineffable grace. As a consequence of his incarnation, because of who he is, who he affirmed himself to be, his death, resurrection, his glorious ascension, these things which we hold to be unequivocal proofs, humanity is put to a decision, indeed, an inescapable one. How does one reconcile to one's heart that God has not just become man, but has done so in order that man might become God? I, the chief of all sinners, cannot possibly begin to comprehend the infinite mysteries and answers behind such a deeply seated question. But this I know. It is a free gift for all. And by way of Christ, it is our birthright. To live in bondage to sin is a free choice. Postmodern thinking in recent years has been telling you otherwise, that circumstances and impulses, not people themselves, now dictate what we do, who we are, or what we want to become. In fact, the spirit of this world goes even farther than that. Impulses are now embraced and promoted through the aid of television. We live in an age that embraces the slogan, "Anything goes," so long as it appeases one's pursuit of happiness. Words like culpability, responsibility, and honor somehow seem out of touch with the postmodern world. Those words have quietly faded into the darkness of this generation's vocabulary without much notice. But this makes our mission all the more vital. For we know the truth. We know the wages of sin is death. We know that everything we do or do not do boils down to a choice, our choice. You see, failure to recognize sin, as many in our current age do not, is this not the same as liberation from it? And this I say not out of judgment, for only Christ can judge the heart of a man, but as a means to awaken us all out of the spiritual slumber that we are susceptible to the persuasion of our sins. Make no mistake about it. Sin can become a thing of comfort for anyone. Yes, quite certainly. Even those of us here this morning are capable of cradling the sins we commit, whether intentional or not. But how far can our sins take us in life? Has a life of sin ever worked out for anyone? Has anyone ever concluded their life justified in their sins? Has sin ever been sufficient enough to satisfy your hungers, your thirsts, your cravings? Then why do we go back to it time after time? Why do we choose to draw from the well of our sins, which leaves us thirsting and thirsting for more each and every time, instead of drawing from the well, from which whoever drinks will never thirst again? John chapter 4, verse 14. Christ has come to quench our thirst of all who should come to him. It's not too late. It's not too late for you and me. It's not too late for the whole world even to turn to him who has come to set all men free. 2 days ago, while celebrating the joyous occasion of Christmas with my family, I had a long overdue talk with my grandparents on my mother's side. And spending time with them, hearing them, and sharing in their stories was long overdue on my part. But one story in particular struck me. My grandfather told me of the time when his father, which would be my great-grandfather, used to run one of the coal mines in the mountains of Western Maryland. And as it happened, one day, he had to nominate one man to perform an extremely dangerous but critical job for the sake of the mine. And my great-grandfather's best friend turned to him and said, "Tell the older gentleman over there to do it. He's old and doesn't have much time left to live anyway." And so my great-grandfather did just that. The older man went to fulfill that dangerous job, while everyone else went back to work. But only moments later, something dreadful happened. The pony which had been strapped to my great-grandfather's best friend got spooked and started running like mad through the mine. And as a result of the melee, he was tragically killed. The older man, however, lived years after. And this I share with you for this simple reason. It's not too late until it is. None of us knows how much time we have, only that we have been given this moment, right here and now, to live out our salvation as best as we can. It's not too late so long as we draw breath. It's not too late to turn to Christ. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Romans 13. By way of the incarnation, we recognize the limitless potential in our creation. It's not too late. It's not too late to live out your life in the manner that God intended before the creation of the world, to become truly human. It's not too late to live a life of holiness. It's not too late to love one another as Christ loves his church. And if and when you fall into sin, remember that each moment can be a new beginning, a new starting point in your walk with Christ. It's not too late. It's never too late, so long as there is life in us, to seek reconciliation, forgiveness, and healing. For each of you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's not too late, for Christ has now come. It's not too late, for in the incarnation, all things are again possible. Humanity is now cloaked in divinity. It's not too late, for now is the time of your salvation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.